Hello and welcome again to Studies in the Gospels, a program heard every week here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host of this program. And on this program, each week, we examine the life of Christ as found in the Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. At this time, we are in the portion of our study, we are looking at the Jewish trials of Jesus. And today, we're going to be specifically looking at the denials by Peter. Now, this is recorded in all four of the Gospel accounts. Matthew, in chapter 26, verses 69 through 75. Mark, in chapter 14, verses 66 through 72. Luke, in chapter 22, verses 55 through 62. And John, in chapter 18, verses 15 through 18 and 25 through 27. Now, for our purposes today, we're going to mainly be using the text from Mark in chapter 14, verses 66 through 72. So join me there now as we look at our text. Now, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." And he went out on a porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again, and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." A second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to them, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought about it, he wept. Perhaps one of the most humiliating moments of the arrest, trial, and crucifixion of Jesus was the denial of the Lord by Peter. Three times. And each time with more force than the previous time. Peter denied knowing Jesus. Peter denied knowing Jesus in spite of the fact that he had been with Jesus from the very beginning of his ministry. Notice back to chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. "And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him." Peter had been with Jesus when he had healed his own mother-in-law. In Mark chapter 1, now notice verses 29 through 31. "Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew, with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them." We can also remember that On the Sea of Galilee, Peter had walked with Jesus upon the water. Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 and 29. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, Come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked out on the water to go to Jesus. Peter must also have forgotten that he was with Jesus and Moses and Elijah at the amazing scene of the Transfiguration. Let's look back to that unforgettable moment in Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 2. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining, exceedingly white, like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. And let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. How did Peter, who had witnessed and experienced so many things with Jesus, reach the point of denying his Lord and Savior? What changed in Peter? So soon after drawing the sword for his Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, could the things that changed in Peter happen to you or I today? There is much for us to learn from Peter's denial of Jesus. Remember, most scholars believe that Mark's gospel is the reflections of Peter that he relayed to Mark. I also believe that to be the case, though we certainly cannot be dogmatic regarding that. But if it is the case, oh, how it must have pained Peter to have to record his greatest failing. However, undoubtedly it would bring great joy to Peter if it helped even one to avoid the pitfall that he suffered. Now we can note that pride caused Peter to fall. Peter was betrayed by his pride. Peter's pride caused him to burst forth and claim that he would never deny Jesus. Remember, Peter said that even if all others left Jesus, he would never do that. Back to Mark 14, notice verses 27 through 29. Then Jesus said to them, All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter said to him, Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. And with those prideful words, the process of Peter denying Jesus had already begun. In Proverbs chapter 16, in verse 8, we find that pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. It's very easy for us as Christians today to grow overconfident in our service to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Peter would learn a great lesson from this failure, as evidenced by the fact that he would later command humility in the disciples. We must clothe ourselves with humility and humble ourselves before God. Look what he said in 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 6. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Peter learned a very difficult lesson about the danger of pride, and we would do well to learn the lesson from Peter and understand just how important and critical it is to remain humble in our lives. Laziness also caused Peter to fall. Remember, Jesus asked Peter to be watchful, but he kept falling asleep in the garden? Go back to verse 37. Then he came and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. Then he came the third time and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come, and behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Peter should have been alert and praying during the time in the Garden of Gethsemane about the things and events at hand, rather than catching up on his sleep. His laziness contributed to his lack of preparation for the moment when the test of his faith would come and he would fail by denying the Lord. We must not become lazy in our prayer life. We must not become lazy in our study of the Word, or we'll fall victim just as Peter did. We must be diligent in our preparation. Luke chapter 21, beginning in verse 34. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Far too often, Christians gradually drift away from their service to the Lord. We simply become lazy in our faith. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says, Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Peter would learn his lesson about laziness as well as pride. He would later also command our diligence. Peter taught us to be diligent at staying vigilant against the devil. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Peter would point out that rather than being lazy, we should grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge." Just a few verses later in verse 10, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." Giving due diligence to our faith and our reasonable service as a living sacrifice will cause us to be found in peace and without spot or blemish. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 reminds us to be steadfast. "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, being diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless." Friends, we cannot allow ourselves to become lazy, begin to forsake the assembly, or fail to study the word on a daily basis, or to pray without ceasing. If these things are not our daily habits, what makes us think that we can stand in the face of trial and tribulation? We read also and realize that Peter failed because of fearfulness. Notice back in our text in Mark 14, verse 54, after the initial apprehending of Jesus, "But Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire." Peter was still following Jesus, but now at a distance. Now that Jesus was not the best person for one to be seen with, Peter stayed far enough back so as not to be associated with him. Peter was not ready or prepared to face the ridicule and the scorn that was being thrown at Jesus. While Jesus earlier prayed for the strength needed for this moment, Peter had been catching a few winks. Sometimes through life, I know that I've been guilty of following Jesus at a distance, desiring not to be seen, and perhaps you've been guilty of the same thing. Have you ever been ashamed to be seen with your Bible somewhere? Have you ever been embarrassed to be seen praying in public, perhaps, say, at a restaurant? Young person, have you been embarrassed to be seen with the youth from your congregation by your worldly friends? Peter learned the lesson about fearfulness and would later command us to glorify God in whatever situation. 1 Peter 4:16, "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter." We must learn to think of things in relation to God rather than ourselves. What pleases him rather than ourselves. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." It was fear that kept Peter at a distance from Jesus, and that would only further lead Peter down the road of sin. When we are at a distance from Jesus, make no mistake, sin is knocking at the door. Peter failed because of worldliness. Peter allowed the world to influence him. When he surrounded himself with the servants of the high priest around the fire to keep warm. Again, notice verse 54, but Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Peter became ashamed to profess Jesus. When we get cozy with the world, we soon forget our higher calling. Too much of the world will pull a Christian down every time. Notice Proverbs 6, beginning in verse 27. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. The old adage is true. When you play with fire, you're going to get burned. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. We cannot walk as the worldly do and not expect to get burned. Peter learned that lesson and then commanded us to steer away from worldliness. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, look forward to these things. Be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Peter ended his second letter with a warning. 2 Peter 3, verses 17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Peter was well qualified to deliver these words to the saints. Peter had suffered from pride, laziness, fearfulness, and worldliness. Peter also knew from experience that one can grow in grace and through such things as humility, diligence, at glorifying God, and living as strangers and sojourners in this passing world. Peter denied the Lord Jesus three times, and when he realized his sin, he wept bitterly. He was forgiven by Jesus and received grace and was allowed to fulfill his role as an apostle. Brethren, as we close today, we will fail at times, just as our beloved brother Peter did. But Jesus offers grace to those who will repent and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to thank you for joining me today. We'll continue our studies next week of the events surrounding the Jewish trial. I hope you'll be with me. Remember, our program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time, posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. And if the Lord wills, I'll see you again this same time next week for studies in the Gospels here on the Gospel Radio Network. So long.